Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kesubos. We're going to begin on the very last line of Chavzayin with Aleph. We're going to do Chavzayin with Beis and Chavches. And this way we'll have caught up the 2 days that will be a little bit difficult for people to listen to on Tisha B'Av, when Tisha B'Av is on Shabbos Sunday. So people won't be able to listen to the shiur on Shabbos. Obviously, can't listen to the shiur on Sunday so easily. Have to listen to it late Sunday night after the fast is over. So we'll make it a little bit easier for people. So we begin on the very last line of Chavzayin Omid Aleph. Boy Ravashi. Ravashi has the following shaila. If a person were to say, a woman says, Omra, she says, Lo nichbeisi, I wasn't hiding away in the city that was being overrun by marauding troops, and therefore there's a concern that Rachmana Luslan, she was raped, and therefore she would be psula kahuna. However, she states, Velo nitmeisi, she says, but I wasn't attacked, I wasn't assaulted. So she could have had the presumption of being considered not assaulted by hiding away, claiming that she had hidden away, but she didn't say that. She said, in fact, I didn't hide away, but she also said, lo nitmeisi. So she has a migu. She could have said a better lie if she was lying, saying that she was nichbeisi, that she was hidden away, and therefore she wouldn't be presumed to be tameya. As we learned in yesterday's shiur, if there was a hiding place, so then the women are allowed to be presumed that they say that they were in the hiding place. Some even suggest, even if they don't say they're in the hiding place, that there's a presumption that they weren't raped and assaulted, and therefore they're muteris lekahuna, or would continue to stay with their husband who's a kohen. And in this situation, she could have said that, but she didn't. She said, I didn't hide away, but she also said, lo nitmeisi. So she has a migu. She could have said a better lie if she was willing to lie. So believe her when she says the statement that lo nitmeisi. So ma, what is the halacha Gemara ask? Do we say, mi amrina, and we turn to chavzayin amidays, do we say over here, mali lishaka, why would this woman lie? As Rashi says atop Rashi, iboya, if she wished to, amr nitmeisi. She had a better lie that she could have said. If she was willing to lie, why not say the better lie? Or do we say, no, lo amrina, we don't apply this rule of migu, that she could have had a better lie if she was willing to lie, so therefore believe in when she says what she does say. So do we or do we not apply this migu in this situation? So Gemara wants to bring a riot from the following. How is this any different? There was once a story with a certain individual, a certain person, the Agar Le Chamra Lechavre, that he was renting his donkey to his buddy, to his colleague. And Amalei, so let's say Reuven rents his donkey to Shimon, and he says to him, listen, I'm more than happy to rent you my donkey, but lo tezel beurcho dinahar pako, do not go on the route. You can take my donkey to wherever you're going. Don't go on the route of Nahar Pako, because dikamayin, there's a lot of water there, and it's going to possibly go and kill my donkey. It's going to have a flood there, and my donkey's going to drown. So instead, go on the route, zil beurcho, go on the road, dinarish, that goes on Narish, because there is no water over there, the Lekamai. In other words, he's telling him, instead of taking the route on Nahar Pakob with his water, I don't want you to go there because I'm afraid my donkey's going to drown. Instead, take the route of Narish, which has no water. No. What does Shimon do? For Asel Ihu, Shimon went to Be'urcha to Nahar Pakod. He went on the wrong road. He specifically went on the road that he was told not to go on the road Nahar Pakod, Umis Chaimer, and the donkey died. Now, however, the donkey didn't die because of the flooding. The donkey didn't die in the water. So also the Kami de Rava. So this person, Shimon, went to Rava and he said to him, Amalei, in, I did go on the road, Biur Chodin Harpakod Asli. I went on the wrong road. The guy Reuven told me, don't go on the Harpakod because there's water there. And I did go on that road, but Miu Lo Havamaya. I checked it out and there was no water over there. And therefore, this donkey didn't drown. The donkey had a heart attack. The donkey had some other reason for which a person who's a socher, a renter, would be potter for. This was something for which he would not be liable for. And therefore, he wants to be held not accountable for the fact that the donkey died, even though he went on the road that he was told not to take. So Rava said, Taki, he's right. Omer Rava. Rava wanted to say, that's exactly our case over here. Mali Lishaka, we have a migo. If the guy wanted to lie, Iboy Omale, Biorcha, Denari, Shazli, he could have said, I went on the road that didn't have the water that you told me to go on. And therefore, if he wished to lie, he easily could have lied that lie. So therefore, we should believe him when he says, listen, I did go on the road of Nahar Pakod, which you told me not to go on, but you told me not to go on because it was flooded. But I'm telling you, it wasn't flooded. So that's what Rava wanted to suggest, that we do have the migu over here. Abaye disagrees. Rava Abaye said, no, Mali Lishaki B'mochem Eidim Lo Amrinon. This case over here is a vadai that Nahar Pakod has water on it. We can take it to the bank. So therefore, it's as if there are Eidim testifying against this person, so he doesn't have a migo. It's as if the Eidim are testifying, listen, Nahar Pakod is always flooded. And therefore, in this situation, we presume it's flooded as well. And therefore, it's as if two witnesses are testifying against him, and when two witnesses testify against the person, the migo doesn't apply. So too, Abaye says, in our case with the woman, we have a presumption. There's essentially Edim that are testifying that this woman, if she wasn't hidden away, if she doesn't have Nechbesi, so then Nebuch, she was assaulted. So it's as if there are two witnesses that are arguing against her. She says Lo Nitmesi, but it's as if we have two witnesses saying against her that she was Nitmesi. And therefore, Abai says you can't compare the two cases. So we have no answer to whether we do or do not believe the Migu over here. Rabbi would seem to say yes, and Abai seems to say no. But the Gemara says, no, Hachi Hashda, the two cases are incomparable. Abaye is incorrect. Hasam, in the case of the donkey, Vada Ika Edim the Ika Maya. There, you can take it to the bank. There's always water on the road to the Harpakot. It's always flooded. So therefore, in this situation, it's as if there are two witnesses arguing against Shimon, and Shimon says, no, there was no water there. But it's as if you have two witnesses saying that there is water there, and therefore he's not believed the Migu against two witnesses. But here, in our case, Hacha, in the case of the woman that was Nebuch in the city where there was assaulted, and the question was she assaulted as well? So Hacha Vaday Itme, Rashi says Loshon Bisnia. In this situation, can we testify that this woman was definitely assaulted? No, it's only a presumption. Chashashi, it's a chashash, it's a concern that maybe this woman was in fact assaulted, but it's not as if there were two witnesses that are saying that she was definitely assaulted, and therefore Ubamokum Chashasha Amrina. Maybe we do in fact say that if there's a chashash only, but not a vadai, so then we do have a migo over here. She could have said nichbesi, and therefore believe it when she says lo nitmesi, because ma li l'shaker. So it seems that the Gemara concludes, like the opinion of Rava, that one is permitted, in fact, to go and be believed in this situation with a migo of ma li l'shaker. Now we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, edim afilu eved, afilu shivcha nemonim. If there's even one witness, even if it's an eved or a shivcha, we believe that the woman wasn't in fact assaulted, and the woman is permitted still to stay with her husband, the Kohen. So more implies, Bafilu Shivcha Dida Mehemna, from the fact that it says, just stam, any Eved or any Shivcha, that would imply that even her own Shivcha would be believed to say that the woman wasn't assaulted when the marauding troops came into the city. Mor says that seems to go against the Mishnah and Gittin. Urmini, it says in the Mishnah and Gittin, on Daf Ayin Gimel, it says over there, Lo Tisyachet Imo. What are we talking about? So Rashi tells us what the background is over here. He brings the Gemara from Maseches Gittin on the third line of the Rashi's. He says, Shchiv me Rasha kasev v'mosar get l'ishto. Person is on his deathbed, and he writes a get to his wife. Not because he doesn't love her, but he doesn't want her to fall into Yibum. Amanash in Meis, if he were to die, ye get l'mafrei. If he says, if I die from this, then I want the get to take effect from right now. And therefore, v'lo tizokek l'chalitza. She won't have to have chalitza, which is going to be a difficult situation for whatever the circumstances were for his brother to come and give her chalitza. And therefore, in that situation, lo tisyachet imo, she's not allowed to be alone with him because we are concerned. Shema yavo allowed, they'll have relations when they're alone. And this way, it will be an invalid get. Ba'avalei, get yoshan. It will be a get that's an old get, and it won't be good. It's not. Basil Ostrin, live tar beget yoshan. And this get wouldn't be applicable, and therefore, the woman would die actually as a married woman. Now, the Ezel get Yoshan. What is the definition of this get Yoshan? Anytime the man lives with his wife, or is alone with his wife, not that he even lives with her, if he's just alone with his wife after the get was written, that's called the get Yoshan, which Beis Hillel says is no good. And the reasoning is, and the reasoning behind this is because people will say that the get came before a child. She'll have a child, and people will see the get, and they'll say the child's born out of wedlock, and it'll be a pagam on the child. So that's the source of this gezerah. Now, it tells us over here in the Mishnah Gittin, now we're back to our Gemara, Lo Tisyachet Imo, she's not allowed to be with him unless there are witnesses that she's not alone with him. In other words, she shouldn't have Yichud with him. El Api Edim. There have to be Edim there. Now, Edim doesn't even mean two witnesses here. It means Vafilu Api Eved Vapi Shivcha. And even if there's one person, even if it's an Eved or if it's a Shivcha, it's perfectly good. However, Chutz mi shivcha so, but it doesn't include her own shivcha. So here, clearly, mipnei shaliba gas b'shivcha so, because she's so close with her shivcha, so she could actually have relations with her husband, even though the shivcha is in the room and the shivcha is present. So therefore, the Mishnah in Gittin tells us that the shivcha is not acceptable as a single witness. Yet our Mishnah seems to imply that even a shivcha, it says eved or shivcha, implies even her own shivcha is acceptable. So we have a stira. Our Mishnah says her own shivcha is good, and the Mishnah in Gittin seems to imply that her own shivcha is not good. So we'll have three terutz into this stira between the two Mishnais. So the first one is Rapapi. Amar Rapapi, he says, Bishvuya Kilo. Our Mishnah is the exception to the rule. Our Mishnah is dealing with the case of a Shvuya, a woman who's captured. There's no guarantee that she wasn't necessarily nitmes, it's just a chashash. And therefore, in regards to a Shvuya, the rabbis were more lenient. However, in the case of Gittin, in the case of the Mishnah in Gittin, so then in that situation, there's no reason to be makel, and we don't allow the shivcha because libo gaspa. Okay, so fine, that's teretz number one. Rapapi is essentially saying that there's a difference between the two cases, but we wouldn't be lenient in a shivcha except in the case of the shvuya. It's a kula. Rapapi Omar, no. He says, ha b'shivcha dida, v'ha b'shivcha didei. The two mishnayos are talking about two different slaves. There is no heter of shivchasa. Shivchasa applies both there in Gittin. We don't accept it. And over here, it also we wouldn't accept it. But here, we're not talking about shivchasa. Here, we're talking about shivcha didei. We're talking about the husband's shivcha. The husband's shivcha is believed. Her shivcha is not actually believed. Just like in Gittin, we don't believe or accept her shivcha to say that she was misyachet, but there was no relations because libo gaspa. So to over here, we don't believe her testimony of her shivcha. But our Mishnah is talking about his shivcha. That's Rapapa's teretz. Where it says, really? B'shivcha didah lo mehemna? Are you telling me that according to everybody, that her shivcha wouldn't be believed? Even in our Gemara, when a woman was captured, you wouldn't believe the shivcha that say that she wasn't at meis? Hoktani, our Mishnah said, ein adam made al atzmo, ha shivcha didah mehemna. It's only the person himself he's not believed to say that he didn't wasn't metama. She's not believed to say she wasn't metama. Her husband's not believed to say his wife wasn't metama, as we'll see in the next Mishnah. But that implies, ha shivcha didah mehemna, that implies that her shivcha is believed. Someone says, no. Shivchasa nami ki atzmo dami. She's so close with her shivcha, so it's like herself. It's like ishto ki gufo, like say husband and wife. So too, the shivcha of the woman is considered herself. Just like she's not believed, her shivcha is not believed. So Rav Papa's teretz is that the two mishnayos are talking about two different shivchas. Over there in Gittin, it's talking about her own shivcha, not believed. But here it's talking about his shivcha, and she would be believed because there's not that closeness with his shivcha as it would be with her shivcha. But her shivcha wouldn't be believed here as well. So the Gemara says, now teretz number three. Rav Ashi Amar, he says, no, both of them are actually talking about her shivcha. Why in Gittin do we not accept it, and here we do? Because over there, the shivcha doesn't have to say anything. She just has to state, I was with them. But she doesn't have to say that they didn't have relations. It's enough for her to say that they weren't alone. And therefore, we have to be concerned, since she's not testifying falsely, there we have to be concerned that she's not testifying fully. Again, v'shivcha michzo chazir, she sees v'shasa, she doesn't say anything. So over there in Gittin, hasam, v'shtikasa matirasa, lo mehemna. There, she doesn't have to testify falsely. All she has to do is be silent. All she has to do is say, yes, I was with them. And the presumption is that they're not going to have relations there. But she's not saying that they didn't have relations. They, in fact, did have relations. And therefore, lo mehebna. Therefore, we have to be concerned. Because she didn't lie. She said, I was with them. But since she's not testifying falsely, we have to be concerned that she's not testifying completely. And therefore, over there, we have to be concerned. In the Mishnah in Gittin, we don't accept her testimony that she was with them because she could be, in fact, not telling us the whole story. And therefore, she's not believed. Lo mehemna, because maybe she really is saying that they had relations, but I was there. But hacha, in our case, where the shtikasa osarta, here, she's silent, if she doesn't say anything, so then, in fact, the woman, her mistress, will in fact be a surah to her husband. So therefore, mehemna here, when she says no, that she wasn't having relations, she wasn't assaulted, so therefore she is believed. Here she actively goes and says something, and we have no reason to think that she's lying. Over there in Gittin, she doesn't say anything. So therefore we have to worry and be concerned that maybe she's not telling us the whole story, because she's not lying. She didn't say anything wrong. She just said, I was with them, which was true. But she doesn't say that they had relations. So therefore, in the Mishnah in Gittin, Rav Ashi says, you have to be concerned that she's not telling us the whole story, and therefore she's not believed. Whereas here, she's actively saying, no, my mistress wasn't assaulted. Her master wasn't assaulted, and therefore the woman is believed, the shivcha is believed in that situation. Where it says, now, hashtanami, asu mishakwa. So why aren't we concerned that she'll actively go and lie? Why do we say that she wouldn't lie? So the Gemara answers, tarte lo'ovda, because there's no reason to assume that she's going to do two things that are wrong. As Rashi points out over here, chodo, number one, the shaske mi lohoid emes, that she doesn't go and testify accurately. But number two, chodo, misadi shekwa, that she's going to actively lie. It's one thing if she doesn't say anything, like the Gemara in Gittin, where she just says, I was with them. So she's not falsely testifying, it's just she's not giving us the whole truth. So There, we have to be concerned. But for her to actively go and testify falsely, that we're not concerned about. And as Tosus points out, so that she'll be silent and not testify, we have to be concerned about. But then, that she should go and actively lie, that we're not concerned about. And in fact, I'll show you that this is right, the Gemara says, by a Maisa Shahaya. Kiho Demari by Isaac, Ba'ami Lo Chono by Isaac. There was a Maisa with a strong armed guy. His name was either Mori by Isaac or Chono by Isaac. In any event, we'll call him Mori for the rest of the story. So also lay Acha mi Bechozoa. So he had a younger brother who had left with his father to go to Bechozoi when he was very young. As Rashi points out over here, Shahalach Aviv Shom, Ba'olicho Imo. So the younger brother went with the father off to Bechozoi, the Gidlusham, and he grew up over there. And then when the father died, Umesavib, the Chazaliro, and this younger brother comes back to the city to go and participate in the Yerusha of his father. So the older brother, Mari, says, who are you? When the younger brother comes with Tavachalko, Benichsi Aviv, so Mari says, Amale, the younger brother says to Mari, Plog Libinirsi Adiaba. No, I get half of father's possessions. Let's assume nobody's a Bukhar over here. So I get half of father's possessions. So Amale, so Mari says to him, I don't know who you are. Lo Yadanaloch, I don't know who you are. Yeah, I did have a younger brother, but I don't know who you are. My younger brother was here 20 years ago, and you know, he was 5 years old when he left, and you're a 25-year-old guy, and I don't know who you are. So they went to a Beis Din. So also the Kamid Ruchis to Paskin, what should be over here? So Amalei Ruchis says to the younger brother, Nu, Shabra Kamaloch, Mori is tak 100% right to say he doesn't recognize you. After all, we see by Yosef and the brothers, the Chsiv, by Yaki Yosef Zechov, him Loikiru. Yosef recognized his brothers. He was 17 years old when he left. He didn't have a beard. His brothers were older than him, so he recognized his brothers. When Yosef was taken into captivity, when the brothers sold him, he was 17 years old without a beard. Ubaba Chasim Azoki. Now, it's many years later, he's 30 years old, and he has a beard. So therefore, it's understandable that the older brothers wouldn't recognize the younger brother when he matured and grew up. So too, Mari doesn't recognize you. So, Amalei, so Chissa says to the younger brother, either zil aisei sadei de'achua at, or you get nothing. Go bring witnesses that you are in fact the younger brother, right? And then you can go collect half the Yerusha. But otherwise, Hamos Mechaber, all right, you have to go and prove that you're the younger brother. He's the Muchsak. He's known to be the only child, and therefore it's all in his possession, and Hamos Mechaber, all right, you have to bring a raya that you're the younger brother, and then you'll be able to take half the Yerusha. But the brother says to Rav Chista, the younger brother says to Rav Chista, I have witnesses. Isli sahade. I am more than happy to bring my witnesses. They're just terrified of Mari. Mari's a strong-armed guy. He's a mafioso. And they're terrified that Mari's going to beat him up if they come and testify on my behalf. Because the Gavra Almahu, he is a very tough guy. And therefore, they're scared of him. So now, Rav Chissa says to Mari, Amalei L'didei, Rav Chissa says to Mari, then in your situation, Zil Aitinu At, Delav Achuhu. As Rashi brings down over here, he tells Mari, you have to go and bring those witnesses, Lahanu Sahadeh Hamakirin also, the witnesses that your supposed brother says, recognize your supposed brother as being the brother, so you have to get those two witnesses to come, and they should testify on your behalf that he's not your brother. In other words, you have to get those two witnesses to come and say that he is not, in fact, your brother. Your, quote, younger brother is claiming that they will testify that he is the brother. So you have to go get them to say that he's not the brother. So Mari is shocked at this. Amalei, Mari says, Dina Hachi? Really, is this right? After all, most people have all of Raya. Hey, I'm the Mochsak over here. How come I have to bring witnesses that he's not my brother? I'm the Mochsak. So Amalei, Rav Chissa says to him, no, because in this situation, Hochi, the Inin Aloch, Ulukulu Almei Chavroch. This is the way we judge you and anybody like you that's a tough guy and the witnesses are scared of you. So yeah, then we make the proof turn on you. Since the other people can't bring witnesses because they're all afraid of you, so then we make you bring the witnesses, and therefore this is the way that we're going to judge this case and all cases with strong-armed people. And Tosos and Dira Masul, Omele Isli Sadi, adds to this idea, and he says, in the middle of the Tosos, Have Osam Eidim Atzmam, Shireim Lion, bring those witnesses that testify, that your younger brother says, are able to testify that he's the younger brother, bring those witnesses who are terrified to testify, Shiaidu She'ena Ochicha, that you aren't the brother, O Shiomu She'enum Yodim, or let them come and say that they don't know. Make them say something that wouldn't be true. That far, they're not going to go. To not come forward and be silent, that people are willing to do. But to actually come forward and to testify falsely, That they're not going to do. And this is the raya, tarti lo'avda. A person will be silent, but nobody's going to come forward and actively testify falsely. Tosfos says a little bit further down, but if we have no reason to suspect that Murray is a strong-armed guy, and that there are really witnesses that would be coming forward to testify, but it's only because Murray is a strong-armed guy, then ain nira klal she'neman. Then the fact that the younger brother says, I have witnesses, but he doesn't bring them forward, he doesn't make any claim that Murray's a strong-armed guy, lo ma the gavra amlu, we don't accept that, because otherwise, in lo kain, kolodim yomar al chaveiro shu gavra amlu, because then everybody would say, oh yeah, the reason why I'm not bringing my witnesses is because the other guy's a tough guy, and my witnesses are scared. No, if there's raglayin ledover, then we flip the tables and make him, as Rav Chisda said, deinin loch ulukulu al mei chavrach, that this is the way we judge you and other powerful people. But if there's no raglayim ledover, there's no reason to think that he's a powerful person and the other witnesses are scared to come forward, then we don't say this. Otherwise, the entire concept of Moshe B'chaver Olav Raya goes right out the window. In any event, the Gemara continues and says, wait a second. Why aren't we concerned that these witnesses will in fact come forward and testify falsely? Hashdanami osu mishakri. Why don't we say that? So Gemara says, again, the Teretz that I told you a minute ago, tarti lo avde, that we're not concerned about. Yes, they may not come forward because they're scared, but nobody's going to come forward and then testify falsely because they're scared. So the third teretz, Rav Ashi's teretz, is substantiated. Nadi Mor says, let us say that this entire concept about whether we do or do not believe the shivcha about her own mistress, about the master of her, let us say lemo ketanoin. Let us say zemachlokas tanoin, because we have one brisa that says zu edus. This brisa Rashi tells us in Dibur Masel zu edus, edus zu shel shivuya hakok sherimba. This testimony that a single witness gives to say that a woman was captive, but she wasn't assaulted, that's believable if the witness is ish, the isha could be a man or a woman, or tinok, the tinok is even a child, a boy or a girl, or viavima, even her mother or father, viachia viachosa, even a brother or sister are believed to go and testify that she wasn't nitmes. However, avalo bina ubita, but her son or her daughter are not believed. And likewise, lo avda v'shivchosa, her slave or her man or woman slave, they're not believed. So the first brisa certainly seems to say that her own shivcha is not believed. But then we have another brisa, v'tanya idach. It says hako neman lahad. Everybody is believed, including her shivcha. The only people that aren't believed, chutz mehemena, herself, is why she says hi atzma ubala, and her husband. They're no gabadaver, so they're not believed. But the second brisa says that the shivcha is believed. So therefore, let us say that this is the machlokes, that one brisa says that the shivcha is not believed, the first brisa, and the second brisa says that the shivcha is believed. So let us say this is the difference between the Mishnah and Gittin and our Mishnah. So Gemara says, Teretz number one and number three, the Rav Papi, the Rav Ashi, they definitely have to say Tanoihi, because they hold that the woman is believed under certain circumstances, so they have to hold like the second Brisa, that the Shivcha is believed. They obviously can't hold like the first Brisa, so clearly they have to say that there is a Machlokes Tanoihi Moyer, because the first Brisa clearly says the Shivcha is not believed. And both Rav Papi and Rav Ashi, Teretz number one and Teretz number three, did say, in fact, that the Shivcha is believed in our Mishnah. They each gave a separate reason why the Shivcha is believed in our Mishnah, but it's not believed over there in Gittin. But they clearly hold that the Shivcha can be believed, and therefore they have to hold that there's a Machlokes Tanoim. However, Teretz number two, the Rav Papa said there's a difference between her Shivcha and his Shivcha, so maybe according to Rav Papa, Mi lema tanoihi, who says that this is a machlokes tanoim? Maybe, in fact, he's able to reconcile these two brises as well, just like he's able to reconcile the Mishnah in Gittin and the Mishnah over here as not being in conflict with each other. They're talking about different cases. Maybe the two brises are talking about different cases as well. So, in fact, Amalek Rapapa would say, yes, ki tanya ahi, when you're saying the second brise that it says that we believe everybody except the woman herself and her husband herself, that's only b'meisicha l'fituma, that we believe her servant, it's only talking about when she's just stopped talking, b'meisicha l'fnetuma, as is the following story. Kiha, the chiosa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, he said that Rav Chanan was an Amora who came from the city of Kartigna, and he said, Mishtoi, Rashi explains, means he was stopped talking, Rav Chanan demin Kartige, Tarkig is the city, Hoye Masabra Maisa, they said over the story of a Maisa, Bolif near Reshuva Levi. This Maisa occurred in front of Reshuva Levi. Others say, no, it wasn't that Rav Chanan from Kartignoa said it, but it was Vamilor Rav Shuv ben Levi Mishtoi. He was the one that said it, and it was a Maisa Bolifnei Rebbe, about a Maisa that came from the Rebbe. What was the Maisa? Whoever said it, what was the Maisa? The other Mechashu Mesich Meitumo, there once was a person who was just Stam talking, and he said the following, Omar, Ani Vimi, I am my mother, Nishpein Levein of Bekachov, Nebuch, we were captured amongst the Goyim. However, my mom never left my sight. I was always watching her. When I went to get water for us, I was watching my mom. When I went to go get Eitzim, I was watching my mom. They showed nobody assaulted her. And this was believed. You see a Rebbe, according to the version that it was Rebbe. Others, it was according to Rav Shuv ben Levi. So if you see a Rebbe, Lakun Alpiv, Rebbe, in fact, permitted her to go marry a Kohen based upon the fact that her own son said that she wasn't Nishbeis. But this was only in the case of Mesiach Lifnei Tumo. So therefore, Rav Papa could answer and reconcile the two brises as saying that the first brise says we don't believe the Shivcha is when she's coming to testify. And the second brise, when we do believe the Shivcha, is when she's Mesiach Lifnei Tumo. Okay. Next Mishnah. We had this Tana before mentioned. Amar Zechariah ben Akratzov. We had it mentioned in yesterday's shir. And here he has his own statement. He says, Amar Zechariah ben Akratzov, Rechmona Litzlan, his wife was captured and he was with her the whole time. And he swears, Hamon Hazeh, the Rashbam tells us that Ma'on is a Loshen of Yeshua in the Beis HaMikdosh. So the Rashbam is telling us over here that he swore by the Beis HaMikdosh. The Marsha says Ma'on is one of the seven layers of heaven. And Mor Chagiga we had that talks about the names of the different layers of heaven. So he's swearing by one of the layers of Shemayim. In any event, he was making a Shua over here. Lo Zozo Yod Mitoch Yodi. My wife's hand never left my hand. In other words, she was never alone and she wasn't assaulted. Rav Zechariah ben Chatzov, we said previously, was a Kohen. And therefore, he's saying that my wife is still Muteris to me. And he says, her hand never left by him. So I was with her the whole time. She never was alone. I can testify with absolute certainty that she wasn't assaulted. But Nebuch, the Chachamim told him, like we had in the second Brisa, that a man is not believed about his wife. He's no Gabadar, the wife isn't believed about herself, because there's a concern that they're not Nebuch telling the truth. Tana, we learn the following Brisa, V'afa Pikein, even though the Chachamim said that it was Chai ben Hakatzov is not allowed to live with his wife anymore, Yichid lo beis bayis b'chatzero, they allowed him to go and set up a house in his own courtyard where he lived for her to live in. They didn't live together, but we weren't concerned that they would get together, Rachmon Hussan, inappropriately. And when she would leave her house, she yotza b'rosh b'neah, so she would leave the house, her children were always behind her, so there never was an opportunity for him to be miyached her with her in her house. And Kishi Nichnesis, if she went back into the house, Nichnesis was sold, but now she would go back into the house after her children for the same reason that we're concerned about Yichud. So she never was alone in the house. She always had her children in the house. And this way, Rav Zechariah ben Akratzov could be near the family and raise the family together with his former wife, even though they weren't living together. So this was allowed. So Baya asked about this. Would you allow this in a regular case of a kohen who has a grusha? Here we had a special situation of a shavuya where very possibly she wasn't assaulted. Rav Zechariah ben Akratzov was willing to swear that she wasn't assaulted, so there really was no isser in them getting together, so maybe that's why they were making in this case. But what happens if it was a Gerusha, a Kohen who's Megarish's wife, is not allowed to take her back. Yisrael, who's Megarish's wife, can take her back as long as she didn't marry somebody else. But a Kohen is not allowed to do that. He's not allowed to be Machzik Gerusha also. So Abaye asks, Ma'o Lassus with Gerusha Kain, would we allow the same thing to occur with a Gerusha? Could she live in the same neighborhood? Hossam, who the Bishvuya, Ekilu, was it a special kula that they allowed for Zechariah ben Akratzov because she was a Shvuya, and maybe she wasn't really Azer to him? But Hocha, Avol Hocha, lo, but by the Grusha, who's definitely Azer to the husband, so the former husband, so definitely not. Oduma Loshdom, he said, no, once we allow it, we allow it. So Toshma, I'll bring you right for the following Brisa. The Tanya says in the Brisa, Magari says, Ishto, Lotinose, Bishchunoso. If a man divorces his wife, she shouldn't live with him in the Shchuna. Right now, we're assuming the Shchuna is a small area, a small neighborhood. So he's not allowed to have his wife, who's Gerusha from him, living in the same neighborhood. He's a Kohen we're talking about. Obviously, if you're not a Kohen, it's allowed to because you're allowed to be Machzik Gerushaso, so we're not concerned. Rashi explains why not. Blessed Rashi, Lefisha Makira Berim Zosav, Ukrit Zosav, Shama Yavoli Deaver. Because they know each other and they can signal to each other without anybody else realizing it, they're signaling to each other, and Rachman Lutzlan, maybe they're going to have a hookup and be over a terrible listener. Return to Chavches Amar Aleph. However, Bimoya Kohen, Lo Tadu Imo Bimovoi. If it was a Kohen, then not only the same neighborhood, but not even the same Mavui. Mavui, we're assuming over here, there are different opinions, we're assuming like Rashi and Tosfos over here, that a Mavui is a larger area than a Shchuna, and not allowed to live even in the same Mavui, because we're more concerned about a Kohen than we are concerned about someone else. In Hoya Kfar Kotan, and if it was a small little town, a small little shtar, so then, say, Amai Sud, once was such a situation, the Yom and the Chazal said, kfar katan, a small little shtar, nidon kishruna. It's like a shruna, and can't live any place in this small little town. So we see over here that the din is that a kohen who divorces his wife, she's not allowed to live in the same area. It was only a special kula that they allowed for the shvuya, Rav Zechariah ben Akatzov's wife. Now the Gemara says, no, somebody has to move. So, mi nidcha mipnei mi, who is the one that's forced to leave the courtyard. They both live together in this house, in this courtyard. So we force the husband to leave, or we force the wife to leave. So Toshma, bring right from the following price, the Tanya, he nidches mi panav. She's the one that's forced to leave the area. Then who nidcha mi panav, and he doesn't have to leave. However, we might so chatz shalot, but if it was her own house, so then who nidcha mi panav, then he's the one that has to leave if it's her house. So they ask the following shayla based magistrate, Rabbi Elihu, ha'isa chatzah shel shneim, what happens? They each own a place in that chatzah, so who can force the other one to leave? So one says, Toshma, bring it right from the following brisa. It says, he nitches mi ponov. She's forced to leave. Now, under what circumstances was that? What's the case? Ilema b'chatzah shelo. If you're talking about that it was his chatzah, his house, so then pshita, of course she has to leave. It's his house. V'ilema b'chatzah shelo. You're going to tell me that it's her house, so then, of course, Vatanya, we just learned that in Ha'isa chatzah shelo, who nitcha mi ponov? Then he has to leave. She can't be kicked out of her own house. So what are we talking about here? Mustn't it be when we have this brisa that says he nitches mi ponov el alav ki haygabna? Isn't it talking about like our case right now where they both own a place? So who has to leave? So it must be that she has to leave. One says lav davka. You can't bring me right from there. Dilmo the agir meger. Maybe we're talking here where they're both renters. The agir meger, they're renters. So yeah, for a renter you can kick her out. But if she's an owner, who says you can kick her out? So the Gemara says, you're right. My Havilah, what's the halach? How do we pass it? So bring a right from the following price. So Toshma, the pasuk says, have a pasuk in Yeshaya. Hine Hashem metaltelcha taltela gover. That Hashem is going to cause Chai Yisrael to go off and wander like a man who wanders. In other words, that's a stricter or stronger punishment than a woman who wanders. The Amar Rav, Tiltule de Gabra, the wandering of a man, Kushin Mida is stronger or harder. It's a bigger difficulty for a man to wander than it is for a woman. And the Marsha in Sanhedrin explains that Isha Klezena Alel, that a woman always has her wits about her, so to say. She always has her weapons upon her. In other words, a woman has her wiles, her has her ways. And she'll make friends faster, and she'll be more social, and she will be less put out if she has to wander than would be a man, right? I think most people would probably attest that the wife is more in charge of the social calendar in the family than it is the husband. The wife is the one that makes the plans, the arrangements, much more so in general, those exceptions, much more so in general than the man. So the woman, if she's forced to move, will be less difficult than if the man is forced to move. So therefore, based upon this pasuk in Yeshaya, so we say that when there is a conflict over here and one of them has to move out because it's dangerous for them to live together, so then we ask the woman to move out. After they got divorced, if the Kohen didn't yet pay back his wife from the Nifse Malug, wife comes into the marriage with certain properties, husband has the right of what we call usufruction, that the husband has the right to benefit from the payers of those properties, but he has to return those properties back in the way that they are. That's called Nifse Malug. Nifse Son Basel, he has to give it back the exact same amount. No, he has some of her stuff still. They haven't settled and finalized all the financial matters from the divorce, and he owes her money. Rashi points out it could have been any type of money. This is just the most common thing, that he'll have Nifse Aviyah still with him. So, Eino Nifraz Elidiacher. So she can't go directly collect from him because we're concerned that, again, they know each other, recognize each other, and before you know it, the Rahman al-Islam do something inappropriate, immoral, and therefore she has to have a Shaliach go and collect her money back from her husband. That's what the Brisa says. Amr Rosheshes says, the Osul Kamal Adina, if in fact she comes directly to Beis Din with him, we're not going to allow them to do so because we're concerned that this Kohen and his Gerusha are going to Rachman al-Sanat, they're together without having somebody as her advocate, as her shaliach, but she comes on her own. We're concerned that they're going to do something inappropriate. Rachman al-Sanat, they're going to hook up together, and therefore we won't judge them. In other words, she won't benefit by coming, so you have to go send the shaliach. Only then will we judge the case. Rapapa goes one step further. Rapapa Mar, not only that, Shamuti Mishamtina Lahu. Tosa says each one is a stronger case than the other. They don't disagree with the other one. They're adding on. Rapapa says, not only that, we'll not judge a case, but we'll put him in Chayrim for doing what they did. And Rapuna Bray the Rav Shua adds one step further. Omar, he says, Nagude Nami Minagdina Lahu. And we'll also give them Malchus Bardus. We'll give them rabbinical lashes over here for doing this incorrect thing. Rav Nachman says, Tan Rabbi Eivel Rabasi. We learned in Masechta Eivel Rabasi. What is Masechta Eivel Rabasi? It's not in the Daf Yomi cycle. So Rashi explains, this is one of the Masechta's Kalos. Masechta, it is a Masechta, but it's not learned in the Daf Yomi cycle. It's one of the, quote, minor tractates. The Korno So Smachos. And its name, other than being Eivel Rabasi, we give it a euphemistic name of Smachos, of happiness, of good things, because this Masechta talks about a lot of sad things. Azui Mishnah Rishonah Shalah, in the first Mishnah, in this Masechta talks about Agosis, a person who's never on his deathbed. He's about to die. Harei Kechai L'chod Barav. He's considered a live person in regards to certain dinim. In regards to dinim of Tumim Tara, in terms of financial matters, he's considered still a live person. Okay, in any event, in this Masechta Smachos, known as Eivel Rabasi, so it says over there, B'med Dvar Mamurim, when do we say that the Kohen's wife can't come directly to go and collect? That's when she nisgarshim and nisun. That's when they were fully married. They had consummated their marriage and they were fully married, and then he divorced her. However, avos she nisgarshim and erusin, if they only had the first stage of marriage and they lived together and he got divorced at that point in time, so then nifraz ayde at. So then she can go directly to him. Why is there no concern? Obey shein libo gatz, because they don't had that same relationship. They never lived together. They weren't really full-fledged husband and wife. And therefore, in that situation, we're not going to be concerned. How Aris Varuso, Maisa Shahoya, there once was an Aris and his Arusa, those who came with the Rava, they came in front of Rava. This was a Kohen and his wife, and he divorced her. And Yosef Ravada Bar Masna Kameh, and Ravada Bar Masna was also there at the time, and Oke Rava Shlucha Ben Tayu, and Rava made Ravada Bar Masna be her Shiliach. So he would advocate on her behalf. He didn't allow her to come directly into the Beis Din with her former husband, even though it was only after Erusin that they got divorced. Now, Amalei Rav Ada Bar Masna to Rava, he says, V'amar Rav Nachman, we just learned, Tana Be'evel Rav Basi V'choli, we just learned that if they only had first stage of marriage, Niskarshim and Erusin, so then Nifras Ha'idei Atzma, Shein Libo Gaspa. So why do you institute me to be like her Shaliach and act on her behalf? Why couldn't she act on her own behalf? So Rava said, Amalei, now I saw they were a little bit too close to each other. I'm suggesting on my own that maybe they came from Yehuda. Remember, in Yehuda we said that the Chosin and Kala would be nisyached with each other during the year of Erusin. We wanted them to be close to each other, so maybe they got a little bit too close to each other. And Rava said, I see over here that they're too friendly and too much familiar with each other. They're too familiar with each other, and therefore I'm concerned over here. And that's why I set you up to be the shaliach on her behalf and didn't let her come to adjudicate the case directly with him. Alternatively, Igad the Amrei, others had this in a slightly reverse situation, that Lo'oki Rava Shliach Ben Tayu, since it was after Erusin, so Rava didn't go, they were divorced after Erusin, so Rava didn't think it was necessary to have the shaliach act on her behalf, and he didn't appoint somebody, and he allowed her to go don the case against her husband directly, her former husband directly. So like Ravada Ramasta was there, and he said, whoa, Nekamar Shlucha Ben Tayu, why don't you make a shaliach, why don't you make somebody advocate on her behalf, rather than having her directly in contact with her former husband? Because Rava said, Amalei, Ha'am, Ha'am, Rav Nachman, Tarn, Be'evel Rabasi, V'chulei. Because we just learned in Masechta Smachos, in Be'evel Rabasi, Shneskar Shemin Ha'erisin, Nifras Ha'idei Atzma, She'en Libo Gaspa. So that's why you didn't have to do this. But Rav Ada says, no, you didn't notice. Amalei, Hani Mili, Hechad Lo Gaisi, Ba'adadi. That Mishnah in Masechta Smachos is talking about where they weren't familiar with each other. These two, I see that they're too familiar with each other, therefore you should put a shaliach, you should put an advocate for her rather than have her deal directly with her former husband. Now we go to the next Mishnah. The following people are believed when they become adults to have testified about something that they saw in their youth before they were an adult. And Rashi points out that all of these cases where we're going to believe them, we believe them, will, for example, accept this statement that this is their signature or their father's signature, even though the father had died while the child was still a katan. And now he's testifying as a gadol, but he certainly could never have seen this as a gadol. His father died before he was a gadol. So nevertheless, we believe that. What are the cases? Following people who believe to testify when they're adults about something that happened when they were children. So, Masharo bekatnusan, bekotnan, what they saw when they were younger. So, number one, Nemun Odom Lomar, a person is believed to say, Zek Savi Odo Shalaba, this is my father's signature. He's likewise believed to say, Zek Savi Odo Chiddush of Rebbe. He's believed to say that this is the signature of his Rebbe. The Gemara will explain what's the Chiddush is. If a father with a Rebbe, what the difference would be between the two of them, why we would think otherwise. And certainly, Sek Saviyadu Shalachi, he's believed to say that this is the handwriting, the signature of his brother. So what Chiddush is over there? If we believe for the father and for the Rebbe, why would we say different for the Achi? So the Gemara will explain what the Chiddush is for all of them. Likewise, he's believed to say, Zachar Yisi Biflonis, is believed to say, I remember very well about so-and-so, this young woman, Sheyotza Bihinuma Virosha Perua. I remember at her wedding, these were the signs we learned early in the Masechta of a woman being a Basula, and she collected the Ksuba of Masayim, even if she didn't have a Ksuba, that this woman went out Bihinuma. Hinuma, we said two explanations for earlier in the Masechta. One of them was that it was some sort of a circular myrtle type of a canopy, or others say there was a thick veil. So she went out with the Tzinuma that only Basulas went out with, and Virosha Perua, and her hair was showing because she was not yet married. So therefore, this testimony of this person to say he saw this when he was a youth, when he was a young boy, is believed. Likewise, Vishayish Ploni Yotzi Mibesa Sefer, he's believed to say that he remembers that his friend was taken out of the school, out of the Beis Sefer, Litbo, to go to the mikvah to have tevila, lecho b'truma, so he could eat truma. Now, he's also believed to say, Vishayacholek Imanu Alakorin. He's also believed to say that he got Truma. I'm a Kohen, and he was there with us, and he also got Truma at the Goren. The Hamakom is there, Beis Pras. He's also believed to say that this place, when he was a young, was a Beis Pras. The Beis Pras is a field that did have a kever in it, but it was plowed. And therefore, we have, on a Derais level, that there's no assumption over here that this Tum is still present. But on a Durabanan level, as we'll see, all of these cases are Durabanan. So on a Durabanan level, we are concerned normally that there may be a small piece of bone there, but if this field was plowed over, so then there's certain heterim over here, we say that this is a base of pras. Again, we'll see this in the Gemara in a moment, but right now we're saying that all of these, the person is believed, lahoyed begodon, mashiro begodon, because they're all dinim dirabonon. A shtar doesn't have to have a kiyum. It's only midrabanan that we make it have a kiyum. So that's why he's believed in all of these things. The basula is a chazaka that she's a basula, and therefore his testimony is just a gilu milsa of yalma, as the Gemara will say. And all of these other situations, it's talking about truma dirabanan, and you're dealing over here with a truma dirabanan, a beis pras. And likewise, v'adkan hayinu bayin b'shabbos, up until it was tchum b'shabbos, that's a din dirabanan. So all of these things, we believe him about testimony that he saw when he was a katan, when he's a gadol, because of their old din of the rabbanan, and therefore the rabbis will make them. However, Aval Einadon, the Mishnah says, a person is not believed to say when he's a gadol about what happened when he's a katan, is not Einadon Neman Lomar, Derech Hoyo Leploni B'Mokum Zeh, Maimun Mitzvah Yoyo Leploni B'Mokum Zeh. He's not believed to say that there was a pathway over here that Reuven was entitled to, and now it's in the property of Shimon, and Shimon says it's mine, and Reuven says, no, I have a path there. Or that there was a certain place that they used to have public gatherings to make Hespedim for, and therefore there was like a public right to that area, and now the person who owns it says, no, this is my private property. So here, you'd be taking something away from somebody else, so this is something that we wouldn't allow a witness to testify about what he saw when he was a katan, even though he's now a gadol, that we wouldn't take money from somebody, we wouldn't take a possession from somebody based upon this type of testimony. So that's our Mishnah. The Gemara starts off and says, I'm a Ravuna Brady Rav Yeshua, that which we said, that we accept such testimony, when you need two witnesses, we accept one of these people to be the witness, for who she yesh gadol imo, but there has to be another person, when you need two witnesses, there has to be another person that is a definitely gadol, that testifies that he saw this as a gadol, and then we'll allow this to be testifying about this person when he was a gadol, but what he saw when he was a katan. That's only if you require two witnesses, so we require at least one of them to be a gadol, at both times when the event occurred, and as well as when he's testifying. And the other one could be a gadol now, but he was testifying about what he saw when he was a katan. But it's only one witness, so then we allow them, even if they were a katan, as long as they didn't derub on it. Utzricha. Now the Mishnah tells us that we needed to tell us that we testify, we believe the son to say about his father's handwriting, his father's signature, his Rebbe's signature, and his brother's signature. Why do we need all three? As I mentioned, what's the Chiddush? Because the Yashmin and Aviv, we only had the case of the father, you know what I would have said? Mishum the Shliach Kaveh, because the son is always by the father, he knows his father's handwriting. Kids always knew how to forge their parents' signature on the test that they didn't do so well on, because they constantly saw their parents' signature. Our Rabbo, but his Rebbe's signature, he doesn't see it all the time. Lo, I would have said no, maybe he's not believed. Oh no, so just tell me the Rebbe's signature. The Yashmin Rabbo, just tell me the Rebbe's signature. I should theoretically know the father. No, Mishum Dislay Aim said the Rebbe, because he has tremendous fear and awe of his Rebbe, so he wouldn't want his Rebbe to go and find out that he was lying about this. So therefore, he wouldn't do this. The Rashash says that a person would be terrified that his Rebbe would come and see that it wasn't really the Rebbe's signature and would really castigate him. So therefore, because of the aim of his Rebbe, Mishum Dislay Aim said the Rebbe, so therefore, we would believe that the child testifying when he's an adult, what he saw as a child, because of the aims of the Rebbe. However, Avovi, maybe not. Lo. And what about the brother? We had the father, the Rebbe, would say, yeah, because those two had a good reason. Because the father, he's so present with him, he sees the signature all the time, the Rebbe is so afraid of him. But the brother, the last lay, lo ha, he's not especially afraid of him, and he's not always present with him. Same Allah, we say he's not believed, kumash v'lan, so the chiddush is, given the kiyum shtaros with the rabbanim. The whole idea of kiyum shtaros is within the rabbanim, so him nu rabbanim be the rabbanim. So the rabbis allowed this testimony to be acceptable by din the rabbanim. Then the Mishnah says, we said that he's believed to say that the woman was a besula because of these circumstances at her wedding. She went out with the inuma and her hair was uncovered. So how can we believe him? After all, this is to extract money. And we just said at the end of the Mishnah, we don't extract money. We don't extract the path. We don't say that you can take something based upon this testimony. So what it says, as I pointed out before, keeping the Rav Noshim besulos nisol, since the vast majority of women, when they get married, are besulos, in fact. So therefore, this is just a gilu yimilso bi'amahu. This is the halacha. We paskin that she can collect money as a ksuba of a besula, and this is just gilui milsa. This is just to add, so to say, weight to the Beis Din's psak. That in fact, as Rashi points out, last Rashi kloma ena dover tzorachedus. We didn't need this testimony. El lefayosim shiot sadin laor below gimgum. This will help support Beis Din's psak that she's entitled to ksuba besula. Hey, look, this kid also says this at the same time. Then we said, we believe the person to say that he saw this as a child. Now he's an adult. We leave him to say that he saw the other friend being taken out of school and going to be tovel in the mikvah to eat truma. So the Gemara says, how do you know that that means he's a kohen? Vilduma eved kohenu. An eved kohen can also eat the truma. So how do you know it wasn't an eved kohen? So the Gemara says, Messiah Levi Rishu and Levi. This is in accord with what Rishu and Levi said. The Amar Rishu and Levi also all the adam shilami is adu Torah, because you're not allowed to teach your eved Torah. And here in this case, he took him out of a base safer. So obviously, he was teaching him Torah, and therefore you can definitely say, like Rishu Levi says, that he's definitely not an Eved. Mor says, really? Below? But Tanya, we learned another brisa. Law of Eben Urabo. If a owner of a slave borrowed money from a slave, the slave could have money that was given to him al menas, that it doesn't belong to the master. So the Rebbe now needs money, and he borrows from his slave. Or alternatively, Oshoso Rabo Apotropos. We turn to Chav Chesel Mebeis. The master over here of the slave says, okay, you be in charge of my properties. Osho Hiniyach Tfilin Bivnei Rabo. Or the slave puts on tefillin in front of the Rebbe. Or Osho Kari Shlosha Psukim Bivnei Sekneses. Or he learns Psukim in the Bivnei Sekneses. So in all of these situations, so in this situation, you can't prove that he's a free person, because sometimes the master will borrow money from his servant, sometimes he'll let him be the apotropos, sometimes he'll let him put on tefillin in front of him, and sometimes he'll let him read psukim in the Beit Sakinesses. Sounds like he got an aliyah. So even though he got an aliyah, this is okay. So it's not a proof that he's a free person. No, what do we see from here? You see that he read psukim in the Beit Sakinesses, so you can teach him Torah. Shmuel says, no, there's a big difference between what Rishu and Levi said and what this Brisa says. Hasam dikri evi midaito. Here the Evan's reading on his own. We didn't teach him. But when Rishu and Levi said, you're not allowed to teach the Eved, ki kamrinon, the karnoag beiminok bottom, you can't treat him like your son and send him to Beis Sefer and to pay tuition for him, that you're not allowed to do. So therefore, there's no stira, and this supports Rishu and Levi's statement. Then we said in the Mishnah, litbo lecho b'truma, that the person is believed to say that he saw as a child, now he's an adult, he saw as a child that so-and-so went to the mikvah to eat truma. So again, we're talking about b'truma the Rabbanan, and therefore there's no problem. Hey mamru v'hey mamru, this is all the Rabbanan. And we said, "Show your chol lekimon al goren," that he gave out truma with us by the goren. Again, maybe viduma eved kohen, who maybe he's an eved of a kohen, and that's why he got it. So obviously, our mishnah goes tenan kiman the omar ein chokin truma li eved ella imkin rabo imo. Our mishnah must go like the opinion that says you never give to an eved at the basic granos unless the master is there. So there should be no conflict or concern that this person is not a kohen. Everybody sees that his master is there, so therefore they know he's an eved, and this is the master. The Tanya's, we learn the following brisa: ein chokin truma li eved ella imkin rabo imo. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, we never give out truma to the Eved unless the master is over there. As we'll see, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is based upon the fact that if we give out truma to somebody, then we consider them a meyuchas dika kohen. So therefore, unless you have absolute clear proof that somebody's a meyuchas dika kohen, so we only do that by making sure that only truma is given to the Eved if the Rebbe's there. Because otherwise, people mistakenly could say that he eats truma, and therefore they can mistakenly say he's a meyuchas dika kohen. And we had this Gemara in Yevamos previously, and we have it here again as well. For Yosi Omer, Yochlu Shi Omer, Im Kohen Ani, Tenuli Bishul Atzmi, Im Ever Kohen Ani, Tenuli Bishul Rabbi. So no, according to Rav Yossi, he could go collect the Goren. He says, Mimonoshach, if I'm the Kohen, give it to me. If I'm the Eved Kohen, give it to me, on behalf of my master. So Rav Yossi's opinion is that, in fact, we aren't malal yuchsin based upon truma, therefore we're no concern over here. As the Gemara now tells us, in Rav Yehuda's area of domain, hayamalin mitrumal yuchsin, there, if somebody ate truma, we consider them yuchas dika kohen. And therefore, they were very strict about who was given truma, and they wouldn't give it to the Eved unless the master was there. So there shouldn't be any mistakes in thinking that the Eved is a miyuchas to kohen. Then the Mekomish of Yossi, where they didn't loyal malam truma liyuchsin, so therefore there's not such a big deal. If somebody got truma, it didn't have any real impact. So no, he ate truma, and it, even if he's an Eved, he's allowed to eat the truma, and nobody's going to make a mistake and somebody be malim to yuchsin and say that he's a kosher kohen. Tanya, we have a brisa. My whole life I never testified about somebody's lineage, but one time I did, and it caused a terrible takala. And it caused an Eved to be made into a Kohen because I testified that he ate Truma. Now, how could it possibly be that, in fact, they actually considered an Eved to be a Kohen based upon what Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi had done? After all, we have the famous rule, we have the famous donkey of Pinchas Shel Yair, that Rabbi Pinchas Shel Yair's donkey would eat tevel, he was machmer. So Rabbi Pinchas Shel Yair, wisdom to say, you're no longer my donkey, you can go and eat tevel now. We had the custom not to eat tevel, but you can go and eat the tevel, not a problem. And therefore, if even the donkey, Rabbi Pinchas Shel Yair, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't allow takol al yodam, tzadikim, atzim, lakoshkin, so certainly how could it possibly be that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi should cause a takol over here and have somebody who was an Eved be considered to be a Kohen based upon his testimony? So Gemara says, you're right, Ela Big Shulalos Eved Lekunapi. They wanted to go and make an Eved based upon what Rav Elazar Yossi said, but it turned out that it didn't happen, and they corrected it in time. Knew what was the problem over there? Chaz B'Yasri the Rav Yossi. Rav Elazar Yossi saw in the shtot of his father, Rav Yossi's shtot, where they would give an Eved Truma without the master being there because they weren't Mala the Yosin, but then he testified about it, B'Yasri B'Yasri the Rav Yehuda. He testified about it, Rav Yehuda's shtot, and in Rav Yehuda's shtot, if somebody was seen eating truma, so they were miyuchas dik a kohen. If they were seen giving out the truma to them at the granos, so then they were considered miyuchas dik, so therefore it almost led to a takola, but fortunately it did not, and therefore this idea that nothing will happen, tzadikim atzim lokoshkin, that still was not happening over here, that a takola caused because we're lozer yosu, but it almost happened. Then we conclude the Mishnah. It says, Shamakom has their base of pras. So we said that this is the base of pras. So my time, why do we believe him to say that this is the base of pras? Because the whole din of base of pras is the Rabbanan. After all, this field was plowed over, but we're concerned, me the Rabbanan, there still may be pieces of Etzim Kisor over here, and therefore we give it a Tumah the Rabbanan. And therefore the child is believed to say that this area is the base of pras and not the area, that area, because the whole thing is the din of the Rabbanan. Now, Beis HaPras, the Rabbanan, the Amr of Yehuda Meshul, we see from Yehuda Meshul, he says that Menafeyachodem Beis HaPras Olech. A person can take a bellows of some sort and blow it in front of him, so even if there is a little small piece of bone the size of Esam Kisara, he won't be mile over it, and therefore there won't be any concern. He won't touch it, or he won't move it, he won't be mile over it, and therefore he can walk through a Beis HaPras if he's a Menafeyach, he takes the bellows in front of him. Furthermore, Yehuda Barami said, Mishmeder of Yehuda, in the name of Yehuda, Omar, he says as follows, Beis HaPras Nidash, if it was, in fact, stepped on by a lot of people, as Rashi points out, Disha Rabba Raglayim Harbe, a lot of people stepped on this area, then there's guarantee also there's no piece the size of a Esam Kisora, and therefore there's no concern about being Metame to my space. So Beis HaPras Nidash is also tar. How come my timer do we say this? Because it's impossible that if so many people are walking over there, that there would still be a piece of bone that's the size of a Sora. Then we say the Mishnah, the person says, up until here, I remember as a youth that we walked on Tibbalah on Shabbos. So again, why do we accept this testimony? Because we hold like the majority opinion says Tchum the Rabbanan. There is an opinion that says Tchum the Raisa. Some suggest it's only 24,000 Amos in the Raisa. But we postulate that it didn't the Rabbanan, that Tchum is the Rabbanan. But the Mishnah then is quoted and says, we don't believe him to take money. My time, why not? Because again, as I just said, we don't take money based upon the testimony of this God of what he saw as a cut. The Bryce says that a child is believed to say that my father told me that this family was Torah, this family was Tumeya. Gemara says, what do you mean Torah, Tumeya? Salka Daitach? You're talking about Tumah and Tara? So Gemara says, no, Ela Mishpachazu Ksher, Mishpachazu Psula. The child's believed to say that this family is a kosher lineage, and this family is not a kosher lineage. And likewise, the child's believed to say, Shalchalnu b'ktsotza shalbas ploni l'ploni. We believe the child to say that we ate ktsotza. We'll see in a moment in the Gemara that ktsotza is a certain type of a meal that they put out that the children especially would enjoy, fruits and stuff like that. So the children remember when the family would go and say, listen, somebody else in our family married a person that's going to be poking their lineage, but we want you to know that our daughter over here absolutely is not related in that, and don't ever think for a second that we're mixed up with them. Our family's lineage is pure. So they made this suda called the ketsatza that everybody remembered, especially the young children. So they would grow older, they would say, oh yeah, I remember that ketsatza meal, and therefore this family has a pure lineage as opposed to the other part of the family that doesn't. And likewise, a person believed that if he himself took the chala and the matanas kuna to the kohen, that that family is valid kohanim. But this is only the atzma. If he took it himself, avoloi the achad. But if he says, I remember my father sending it with somebody else, then maybe he mistakenly remembers, and if we don't believe him. The kulin, in all of these situations, imaya oved, kochavim, iskaya, or evim, ishtachre, enim on him. But as opposed to the person who is now a gadol, but used to be a katan when he saw this, we believe him, but by an elvi kochavim, who's a guy, and now he's this guy, we don't believe what he saw when he was an elvi kochavim. And an evid, who was free, we don't believe what he saw when he was a slave. We'll see in a moment, Rav Yochanan ben Broka disagrees with this. He says they are neman. In any event, the hey nemalomer is not further believed to say not believed to take money away based upon his testimony what he saw as a child when he's an adult. And then we have the statement of Yochanan ben Broka omer nemanim. He is believed. Now, Rav Yochanan ben Broka, which is going on the last part or the first part? Ilei Masef is going on the very last part. Afuki Mamonuho. Can't be, because everybody would agree you can't take money based upon the testimony of a child. After all, the money is in his possession on the Raisa level, so you can't take it away on the Rabbana level. Ela Reisha must be going on the first part that we said, the Kulam, Hayu Ovi Kochavim Niskaya, Evid Nishtachar Enamonim, that the guy who converted or the Evid that was freed, so they're not believed to say what they saw when they were a guy and what they were an Evid. And along comes Rav Yochanan ben Broka, Omer Nemonim, he is believed. Why? What are they arguing about? Michael Mifligi. So Tanakama Sovar, Kevin Dovi Kochavimu, since he was a guy at that point in time, so Lord Vidaiki wasn't careful about it. Whereas Rav Yochanan ben Broka Sovar, Kevin the Daita Liigurie, Vedak Havadayik. No, since he's planning on converting, so he's going to be very careful what he sees, and therefore we can believe him. Now, Gemara concludes and says, Mike Ketzotzer, what is this meal of Ketzotzer? We believe the Katan say that he was at the Ketzotzer. So as I told you, here's where I got it from the Tanur Rabban. We learn the Braisa. Ketzotzer, Ketzotzer, what is this meal called the Ketzotzer? Echo ben Achim Shinosa, Isha Sheino Ginislo. Member of the family of Kohanim married somebody that he wasn't allowed to. It was potentially somebody that would cause a pagam in the Mishwacha. So the rest of the family is unhappy about this. They're going to be linked with them forever and say, oh, that family has a pagam. So boy, my name is Mishwacha. The rest of the family comes and be in Chavis Maya Peros. They bring a barrel full of fruits. Kids love fruits. And they go and break it in the public area, in the public square. And this way they tell everybody, come and take the fruits. Everybody listen over here. Our family member over here, he married somebody that's a potential pagam in the mishpacha. But that's only on his side of the mishpacha. We're terrified over here. You're going to confuse and say, yeah, in that family, in the Jones family, there's pagam. And you're not going to realize it's only on that part of the family and not on all part of the family. So they have a come over here and take the fruit. Go and make sure that you remember this well, especially the children who will grow up, and they'll remember this. Like we have testifying over here, this person said, I remember as a child, I ate at this ketzotzer. They'll remember that very, very well. Yeah, you tell a child about a wedding. I remember going to a wedding when I was 5 or 6 years old. I still remember that wedding very well now. I don't remember many of the other weddings I've been to since that. But that made an impression on you. So this ketzotzer meal will make an impression on the child, and therefore, Shalom Yisrael Zahra Zareno, and he'll remember, yeah, that family has a pagam, but this part of the family doesn't have a pagam. And this is Zui Ketzotzer Shatinok Nemam Lahoyed Aleh. This is what we're referring to in the Braisa. We said that an adult is believed to say that when he was a child, he ate at the ketzotzer of such a person. Hadron Alecho Isha Shinis Armula, Hadron Alecho Isha Shinis Armula, Hadron Alecho Isha Shinis Armula. And with this, we, Baruch Hashem, have caught up the second Shia for Shabbos of Tisha B'Av and the Sunday that we'll actually fast on Tisha B'Av, Yemitz Hashem. I hope this is all unnecessary and we'll be able to learn Geshmak on Tisha B'Av, Yemitz Hashem, and the Beis HaMikdash HaBnuya this year. With this, we conclude today's Shir.